Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
Oh, wow. Hot. Coming in hot. And welcome back to our very special series, The Skeleton Boys Podcast Presents Halloween, A Journey, where we are going to review the first 8 movies of Halloween series. This week, we will review Halloween 5 and 6. So,
yes.
John, so now that we're like, now that we're like knee deep in it, I thought it'd be a good time to reflect on the Halloween series.
And how they just get like better and better. It's crazy. This never happens.
What hole have we fallen into now? And how are you doing? How are you surviving?
Oh, man. You know, they say do what you love and you will never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're working right now. I don't think we're doing what we love.
Yeah.
How do we feel about this becoming one of the most iconic slasher series and to becoming this superhuman what's the fucking word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Demonic? We're not tired. Everybody's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. This like supernatural fucking Sam Hain mutant. I don't know. Possessed guy, maybe? Question mark? I don't know.
Yeah.
One of these movies, they'll just say, just throws a wrench in the whole thing. And it's like, wait, what? What's going on? You're not going to explain it?
Honestly, I think I'd respect that more than any of the ideas to prolong this series so far. This was these last two were a real challenge. I'll say that. But you know, I've seen a lot of Friday the 13th. I've seen a majority of these Halloween movies, and I've seen a lot of Freddy movies, but not consecutively. It hits you different when it's consecutively over a period of time. You just see all of the...
This would be like watching the fucking episodes 1 through 3 just to finally get to the good ones.
Yeah.
I was talking about Star Wars, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. But yeah, it's got that feeling.
I feel like a trend has emerged where every 2 movies they try to reboot this thing. Right? It's kind of they try some new whacked out concept. New people are involved. They just to kind of like refresh it. Like, so there's all these start and stops in the series, and then they try to like, okay, well, forget all of that. Let's just reboot it. Let's just start all over again. And that still continues today with the movies we're not reviewing for this series.
Oh yeah, that's true. Even though technically we're finally supposed to finish the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
Will they go through with that? I don't think so. But you know, according to the godfather of the series, this is the last film.
Yeah. I don't get the appeal. Like, I don't know. I guess because it's so like crazy how they kept trying to make these movies. Like they must have been getting at some point like diminishing returns, but unless it's one of those things where I should have done this, but like the movies are so spaced out in release that, you know, people are like, oh yeah, what happened to that series? They kind of, what was old becomes new again kind of deal. I wonder if there's a lot of that going on with this movie, unless they're just producers just trying to milk the last anything out of this series. That's plausible. Well,
if the current climate of the film industry has any indication towards which is more likely of those two scenarios, I would say, fuck the producers. No, that, yeah, probably just watch one way. It'd probably make a shit ton of money off these movies no matter what.
Right. So what you're saying is the next one, we're going to get a universe. Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, with Halloween's next reboot.
Oh, man. I mean, they tried. Remember, was it Freddy versus Jason? They were thinking about introducing Michael Myers at the end of the movie. There's like several potential endings where they introduce like Pinhead from Hellraiser or Michael Myers.
Hmm. Like, at least those movies work. Yeah, like at least there's like a camp idea, like at least there's just like a campy kind of fun idea there. Similar to what was the name of that series we reviewed? The movie we reviewed. What is it? Ring versus Grudge?
Oh, yeah. That was fun. Sadako versus Kayako.
Yeah, like that was super fun because it's kind of just
probably wrong about that. Sorry, everyone.
I was quickly trying to move on.
I'm holding myself accountable. I probably butchered that.
But yeah, no, I mean, at least even the first Freddy vs. Jason one was like trying to have. It was the first time they had ever done anything like a versus series like that. So at least like there was interest, you know? So I feel. One of the things that I don't understand about these two movies is they're so deadly serious about everything. Like, and I kind of feel at this point...
Are you talking about 5 and 6?
Yeah, these last two, especially. Yeah, these last two. They should have, like... these movies at this point should be leaning into the camp, yes. You know? Like,
yeah. Like heavy, I think. Especially for, like, when they shot these movies, because this is what, like, 92 and 95 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like golden era, fucking wacky movies.
Mm-hmm. And I think around this time, the sort of video market was huge, right? Oh, yeah. So there was just like tons of B movies. There was like a million blockbusters, Hollywood rentals.
Yeah.
Shit like that all over the place. This was like, this is the heyday of all of the... Get it made, get it on video, you know, make your money go back.
Blockbuster, Hollywood, you know, Blockbuster, buy your snacks there.
Yeah.
Make poor decisions renting DVDs because you're like, oh, this looks interesting before you could just YouTube a trailer.
yeah, no, exactly. Or even because I vividly remember renting the Dust Till Dawn sequels.
Yes.
Just like that. Yeah.
Because there's no way you're gonna see these direct to video movies in theaters.
No, hell no. Terrible. Yeah.
I have a soft spot for that third one, the prequel, where it's like Old West and
The Hangman's Daughter, was it?
I thought that one was like
one of the Evil Dead guys made that.
Oh really? Was it one of the Tapper guys brothers?
Tapper's is it Evil Dead? I forget the guy's name. Because two's not really good, but no. Three at least
Texas
was...
Texas Blood Money.
Had like a... Yeah, Texas Blood Money wasn't very good. At least I think 3 had a lot of flair and with its direction. I think it's because of the guy who made it. He has a long history. Maybe I'm not remembering this correctly. Let me check.
EJ Pesci. Pesci. And this is the part of the podcast where you you hear one of us try to pronounce the last name. Pesci.
Yeah.
Pesci. No, no, don't say that.
No.
No, I don't know who this guy is.
Oh. Maybe Robert Rodriguez picked him, I think. That was the thing.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
This
one was really funny. This third one, I especially like at the end, there's like one more, I think, like vampire jump scare. I think that's how it was. And like this dude had a thing where you could like stomp on his shoe, the heel of his boot or something, and a knife would pop out the end. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It was actually the second one.
Oh, bummer.
Scott Spiegel, He worked with, he was a Raimi guy.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just got the sequels confused. But yeah,
but the third one had that thing where, like, the dude was stomping his boot, the knife would come out, and he kicked a vampire in the balls and then removed his boot, and, like, I guess these two testicles fell out. They didn't look like realistic testicles, but how do I know what vampire testicles look like? I don't.
It's true. You're right. It's right itself.
Yeah. It's like when people say the Incredible Hulk looks fake, I'm like, okay, what the fuck does an Incredible Hulk look like then? Enlighten me.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, not definitely. Like a computer. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it does look like a computer image. I don't know.
All right. I think maybe we've delayed the talking of these movies long enough. we're not tired.
All right. Let's get into the... We finally get to the good movies. Oh, wait.
The good ones. All right, John, do you want to give us the plot summary for Halloween 5?
Johnny 5 words. Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For my first 5 word. Actually, these are alternate titles for Halloween 5. Halloween 5. Halloween 5. As the Michael Myers churns.
Yes,
and the second one follows suit with Halloween 5. Passions. The Michael Myers story.
By passions, you mean the soap opera, right?
Yeah, and also as the world churns. Yeah.
As the world churns, yeah. Nice.
I got to tell you right now, I enjoyed the shit out of this one.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh my god.
It was so melodramatic. I was like, yeah, okay, let's see some more Michael Myers hand acting. Now the hand is its own character. I thought this one was hilarious. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
So this one was kind of like a continuation of the last one, right? Like Jamie, the little girl.
Yes. But stylistically, almost a different movie.
Oh, dude, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, they just, it's like the, oh my God, this director just has no, does not have a cinematic eye, does not have understanding of acting or how to get performances out of anybody. And it's ugly. It's just an ugly, ugly shot movie.
Oh, man.
Through and through.
It like, to me, represented the 90s, though. It was so hard, 90s, made-for-TV film. Like, I started getting, like, nostalgia about, like, different things.
And you know what? This is the one I had the most hope for, because if you remember the last episode, I was like, I wasn't too big a fan of the 4, but I love the way it ended. And I thought, okay, well, the next one is kind of going to be kind of a continuation. Because I really enjoyed, was it Ellie Cornell, Rachel character, and I really like Jamie's character. I thought those two performances were probably the best thing about 4. So getting carried over into 5, I thought, okay, well, they're going to continue their story and let's see what they can come up with. You know, it seemed pretty kind of fun, not fun, but kind of a easy way to start the story. And I feel like they just said, no way, we're just going to do whatever we want on this one. And just completely just threw out what could have been potentially like a worthy sequel to this series and just did their own freaking thing, you know? Whole new cast of characters.
This is why I think you don't like it, do you?
I did not like that. Yeah,
and
this one.
I think it's because you enjoyed the last one, and I really didn't give a shit about the last one. So I think maybe this is why, like, when I came into this one, like, oh, this is gonna suck, and then it was just super funny to me. I was like, you know what? I like this one. This one's good. This one's funny enough for me.
This one just didn't make any sense. So, like, I think they did it. You could tell that they had no interest in picking up where the last one left off, because even though we have the Rachel character, who I thought in Part 4, she played more of like, you know, kind of bratty teenager, but she was at least had presence of mind, you know, a little smarter than some of the other dumb, horny teenagers. And in this one, she's become the dumb, horny teenager and gets spoilers, she gets picked off like in the first like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
I was going to mention, I think for these films, the appropriate amount of time to like kind of forget and like just move on with life is a year.
Yeah.
Because every fucking conversation was like, don't you remember what happened a year ago? And they're like, ah, come on, you believe that? And I'm like, what? It happened a year ago.
So you're saying these people in this town deserve it? Because they literally.
I think that's why it's called The Revenge of Michael Myers, because he's like, I'm going to kill all these dumbasses. I don't know how they got me in the first place.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's an interesting idea of like the I don't even know if it's been fully explored, but sort of hinted at about like the trauma this town has been through and what happens if like they actually ban Halloween and become conservative, everybody moves away, you know, like I think there's an interesting story because of the murders.
Like, you just said it, like, why the fuck hasn't any of these people moved away? Like, nobody.
Yeah.
They don't find his body, but they assume he's dead anyway. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. That's when I knew. So the first scenes, they painstakingly try to explain how he survived a literal about 15 gunshot wounds and an explosion.
Yeah.
By in whatever little cave he fell into, or like mineshaft. I don't fucking know.
I don't remember. I'm having trouble remembering the this one ended with the Man in Black, right?
This one ended with the Man in Black, and then the Man in Black gets explained in the sixth one.
I guess he does. Sure. why not? That's an explanation. Sure.
But they literally show him crawling, exploding, just missing exploding, kind of like military crawl out of the sewer into a streaming river.
Right. Yeah, I do remember now.
And washing up upon some sympathetic hobos' home, and where he takes care of them for exactly 1 year.
Yeah, exactly 1 year. And it's he jump scare chokes him and then collapses, and the hobo's like, oh, I gotta help this poor masked guy
with the fucking bird. Yeah. So 1 year goes by, and I complained about this like the first sequel too. It's like, we don't need to explain, you know, all this is all needless information, you know. Yeah. Like, because it's just so trivial in the end, you know. Like, you don't need to have logic to any of this at this point. You just need to create, honestly, you just need to create horror tension and, you know, have fun with the direction. But again, they're taking everything so seriously, like it's this big important project, you know, like it needs all of these little details.
Yeah. With that said, can you explain to me, did she kill her mom or no?
No, she only, so yeah, so she only, like, I think just stabbed her repeatedly, but did not kill her.
Did that even happen, or was this like they made it almost seem like it was like a crazy memory that she's having a fever dream about, and then she can't talk because reasons.
That was also kind of, yeah, I did get the sense that they were kind of playing that fast and loose of whether it did happen, but my understanding was that it did happen, because that's why she was in the kids' hospital, because she, Jamie, the kid, becomes like catatonic and clairvoyant.
Yeah, all I guess at the now. Same time. And then she's a mute for like most of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then, because I remember the Rachel character shows up and says like, oh, mom and dad send their love. And it's like, why don't they talk to her? Like, what's going on? How come they're the only people that are still in the town? Where was the mom and dad?
Yeah, they were nowhere to be found. Yeah.
And then like,
it's real odd.
The best friend, who I guess takes her place as the quote unquote heroine of the movie, even though she doesn't really do shit the entire film.
Yeah, I got a lot to say about this character. Tina. Dude. Oh my God. This character.
And again, like, that, this is where I start to enjoy the movie more, because the melodrama of everyone, just the acting, I was like, holy shit. This is a Michael Myers episodic I could get into at like 2 p.m. on a Sunday. If it was a soap opera that happened every Sunday, I would watch it.
Yeah.
Because I was going to mention that hospital scene. And then like her friend pops out of nowhere and like bangs on the window really hard for, again, no reason.
Yeah.
Like, oh. She like opens up the window, lets her in. I'm like, what fucking hospital is this? What is this place?
Yeah.
It's a home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. They like
somebody's.
Yeah. Redress the same house they're probably filming in.
Yeah. One of their rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was the best part because Tina shows up with a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they just let you in. I guess nobody cares. Nobody shows up. Oh, except for Donald Pleasance, who's like, oh, I have things to say. Goodbye. That's by Donald Pleasance.
Yeah. It's good. I like it. Nailed it. Nailed it. No,
the girl,
yeah, no.
The girl.
We've got to go back, Marty. He kind of had like a.
Yeah, yeah. The girl.
Hit where, your kids, Marty.
The dog. The dog. Find the dog. Oh, the dog just ran away.
Yeah, this guy, this Loomis character, I never noticed, but this is probably one of the biggest disappointments because I really like Donald Pleasance as an actor, but my God, this character makes no sense why he's still
alive?
involved in alive and in this murder. Like, had he had died in the second one, it would have actually, his death could have like actually meant something,
yeah.
You know, instead of coming back.
Oh, which is another can of worms we're going to talk about in the sixth one.
Yeah. No, I bet. Yeah. Why is he in this movie? Yeah, because I don't know what he's doing in this movie. What is it? Like,
oh, well, he traps Michael, you know?
Yeah.
He cleverly, I guess, sets up some Home Alone shit.
Yeah.
So Macaulay Culkin's great-grandfather or grandfather he didn't know about.
Okay, so he... What kind of net is that? Like a fisherman net? Where do you think he got that fisherman net? You can't just order shit.
The
like
one that he
right?
trusts Michael in?
I
mean,
yeah.
I know it's a
where do you
a bunch
order
chains,
something like that?
Remember? It was like actually a bunch of like heavy chains. It wasn't like
oh,
a real
shit,
net.
It
was let me see if I can just to confirm that.
What kind of because he like mousetrapped him, right? So like once yes. he like Once he steps into a certain area, he had the presence of mind to like, well, let's go back a bit. Cause he baits his, the little girl into swaying Michael into, this area where he has set up an elaborate trap of, I thought nets, but you say chains.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was like chains.
I could have sworn it was the same net from like Return of the Jedi where they capture Luke and the fucking Ewoks capture him.
Wish I could show you on the thing. Yeah, it was a bunch of heavy chains.
Heavy chains.
Yeah, like huge Whoa. Chain link chains. Which is like
okay.
It,
second
you know,
question: where do you get all those chains? Hardware store? Is that a hardware store visit?
It begs a third question: how the fuck did Loomis, who's like clearly a kind of weak guy, put all these chains up there? Like hoist the fucking chains?
Is that
up
like a home delivery situation, or do you think?
Oh, at the Home Depot.
Those home deliveries are always extra. Do you think Loomis was like, oh, I guess I'll just pay for the the delivery fee.
I have to do this for Michael.
It's very important. I buy these chains. May I borrow some money?
No, he's got money because he's still employed at that psych hospital for, I don't know, I guess he's got tenure or something.
I don't know. Is he? Because he's wearing the same outfit for like the last three movies. So the freaking raincoat?
What's his name? Apple, Mr. Apple. His name? Jobs. Steve Jobs wore the same
Steve Jobs.
Every day.
That's true. He did. Yeah.
Loomis is basically Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, I was gonna say. Yeah. It's a definite line through there.
Yeah, but that was like a funny little line. But I think again, the reason I think I really enjoyed this movie are for like fucking scenes like that. Another really fun scene is Loomis goes out into the field where he knows like Michael's in the forest sort of, and they backlight it real dramatically. It's like, Michael, can you hear me? "Are you there?" And then you see like an image of like Michael's like pulling up in the forest. And I'm like, how do you not see him? He's right there. He's being fucking backlit by like the sun or something. It's like the middle of the night. And Lewis is like, "If you can hear me, it's time to come home, Michael." The girl will be there. And then you just see Michael like walk backwards out of the shot. I'm like, oh my God, this movie's amazing. And then the hand acting was like my favorite part. Like, and it, like, there's a really good one where it's like a tracking shot and you see his hand and it's like he's walking forward, but you just see his hand extended outright. And it's kind of like he's feeling the fence, like some fence inside of a barn with the back of his hand before he settles on like a pitchfork to kill somebody. And I'm like, what? When did his hand get so much personality?
Yeah. I think it becomes, as these movies go on, it's becoming less clear what his motivation is.
Yeah, there is none.
Like, why he's... Yeah.
They try to give you some bullshit in this next movie, but...
No, the curse of Michael Myers, the motivation's everywhere. I honestly don't know what he's after anymore.
I have no clue what these filmmakers were after. But money. We'll get to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, even they introduced all these kids and these Jamie is able to outrun a car.
Oh my God, the Naked Gun police car chase. God, yeah. I love that part too. I was like, I decided not to waste my time doing this, but I was going to send you that same scene and try to recut it with the Naked Gun theme song. I was like, oh, why did they think this was a good idea?
Nobody's even acting like human beings, not even these teenagers, right? No, like
being loud.
So one thing that really bothered me was Jamie has, of course, Rachel, but Rachel dies and has this friend Tina, right? So Tina is supposed to be like the lead, right? The new kind of linchpin for this kid. So Tina, after Michael tries to attack them, or no, she has a vision at a play or some shit, right? Like some sort of kids costume contest.
Yeah, I forgot what that was. With the Tina kid who's important to the next movie, I guess.
Oh, was that Tommy Doyle?
Yeah.
Is that the connection?
Wait.
Holy shit. I was trying to fucking figure that out. Oh my God. Now I know who that was. Okay. Interesting. Okay. I love it. Okay, where was I? Yeah, so Tina decides, after she has like this violent attack and you could see like Jamie like crying, oh, no, don't leave me, Tina, don't go. Yeah. Tina's like, no, I have to go. I have to go to this party at a barn. So she decides, she goes to the freaking party and totally abandons the kid. And I'm like, I don't care about this character. I kind of hope she dies at this point. And there's no point to her.
I was hoping she was going to die at the beginning, but...
Yeah.
But it's okay.
No, yeah. I mean, what a useless character.
No, you know what? Tommy Doyle's from the first movie. I fucked that up.
But I thought Tommy Doyle was the kid that Laura liked, but died in part two.
No, it looks like I'm just reading this real quick. I mean, this is off the top of my head because I have all this information about horror films. It is not from the internet. Tommy Doyle looks like the kid that Lori was babysitting. Or, yes.
Oh.
I'm looking up these photos. And yeah, it looks like the kid that she was babysitting.
Who lived across the house.
Yes.
Interesting.
So that kid grows up to be Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this movie was just not very good. Did you want to have any last thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I think it's like a good little background movie. Like if I was throwing a party for a bunch of vaxxed folk, I'd be like, hey, we're going to watch this in the background. Take a shot every time something funny happens. And then we're wasted.
And then you're like... Yep, I'll come out of my house for this movie.
Okay.
I think that, real quick, I think just the decline from 4 to 5 in the direction and in the story were vast, and now they're completely sinking in my opinion, it's kind of hitting the bottom. I don't think we've hit the bottom yet, right?
No, definitely not.
There's a Busta Rhymes one coming up.
Well,
but we're rapidly descending in this franchise, and I think this is a really poor sequel.
So this is where we disagree, because I thought the previous one was complete trash.
The one.
And this one, I'm not saying is any better, but at least it's funnier to me. Like, so it has that appeal to me.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. I guess my expectations were, like you said, like a bit higher, only because I wanted to see, or I assumed there was going to be a continuing story. And I was disappointed with basically deciding to do whatever they decided to do with this movie. But I totally understand what you're saying. Like, there's a lot of really funny... Oh, we didn't even talk about the really funny sex scene in the barn.
Yeah.
And the grunting noises.
The fucking goofy cops, the like Tweedledee and Tweedledum guys.
Oh, my God.
They
had
like their own little theme song and everything.
Yeah, we are not exaggerating this. There's literally a clown theme song or some circus bullshit music played like anytime they're around, and they're just like.
And that was my biggest qualm about the film, was you don't get to see them killed. You only see them already dead. Like, they have a conversation with Michael Myers.
Yeah.
like, what are you doing here, Michael? Like, they're almost like in New York cops are like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was funny.
That was super funny. All right. All right, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
You know, I'm not going to be too harsh on this one. I'm going to give it 4.5 sexy, funny, melodramatic, spooky bones.
I am going to give it 3. 3 sexy, spooky bones. This movie just... Wow, the dip... It's just... I think I'm more reacting to like the dip in quality of the movies.
Right.
Have just off a cliff. Just off a cliff. That was the most disappointing thing.
It's kind of weird because these movies are making 2 seem like a much better movie than we initially thought it was, I feel.
Right.
You know, like, because
yep.
We're agree. Like, oh, what agree crap, but like, no, these are crap compared to that.
The 90s were a wild time, man. Wild time.
And I just checked. So right. This movie came out in 89. Now we're going to, I believe this movie came out in 94.
No shit.
So 5 came out in 89.
What was it? Uh-huh.
And then, yes.
This 6. One came out in 95.
95, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's some, like, a good chunk of time in between, which explains why everything seems, like, dramatically different in quality. But that does not excuse... My initial opinion of this film is this is probably going to be the fucking worst one.
I don't know. There's a Busta one coming up.
Oh, no, that's going to have some sort of charm to it. I'm sure it will. Because from memory, if memory serves correct, I'm probably going to enjoy the next one, if only for nostalgic reasons.
H2O, yeah. It's been a minute. But, hey, a little trivia I think I read was the guy who directed the second one returned to direct H2O.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's the one Carpenter had a lot of little, like, he was beefing with that guy pretty hard. He's like, this guy's talentless. He basically hated everything he shot. It went back and reshot a bunch of stuff. He had a very TV direction. So I'm very curious, too, because I remember when H2O came out, it was a huge deal. It was like, fuck yeah. Halloween's back. Jamie Lee Curtis is back. We got all these actors from Dawson's Creek in it. It's fucking great. So
Josh Hartnett.
I'm really pumped. Josh Hartnett. Heartthrob Josh Hartnett. Yeah, no, dude. That movie was like, I was the right age for when that movie came out. It was like a big, big deal.
Oh, so, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to checking it out.
Mama Curtis is in it. Sorry,
man.
I don't know why I'm saying.
Yeah, Mama Curtis. <I don't know.
laughs> It's not like she's like super famous for any horror movies or anything.
Yeah.
It's not like she was in, I don't know. Oh, wait, no, I'm jumping ahead, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. So anyway, we get a little mother-daughter thing, and I think it's the only time they did that, and the last time before her mom passed. But back to Halloween 6.
The Curse of Michael Myers.
The best.
The one I need you to explain everything for. Okay.
Well, hopefully these five-word reviews.
Yeah, out. No, that's why I need them. I need the plot in 5 words. Okay. All right, John, you want to give us the plot in 5 words for Halloween 6?
Johnny, 5 words, plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, coming in at two, Paul Rudd and Peeping Tom. I didn't see any other reason for his character aside from he's the kid.
Oh my God.
He's just a perv. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was.
And then hopefully this will further explain stuff. It's actually not going to help at all. But and coming in at number one for Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. I'm so sorry, Donald. Talk about a swan song of a film.
Well, I mean, he never said no to these movies. These movies were clearly something that got his house painted.
Did you hear
boat,
that he got most of
liquor.
His stuff cut out of the film?
Really? No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't read that.
Director Joe Chappelle thought he was so fucking boring and didn't like anything that he tried to cut him out of the film completely. But then, mm-hmm. you know, a fan outcry, and then also he passed away.
Yeah.
So they put him back in the film.
I did read that this movie, the production was terrible. They all hated each other and tried to rewrite the movie on the fly, which are always great. Yeah. Literally that within those hours, they were rewriting, reshooting, cutting, you know, they completely threw out the ending like 3-4 times.
That's weird. It doesn't feel like that at all, except for every second of the film.
Yeah.
This movie sucked. It was so bad.
Yeah, it really sucked.
And when you were talking about how these movies are taking themselves too serious, like this one, like, whoa, come on. This is fucking awful.
No, yeah. This one was... I don't know if we've hit the. This is one of the probably one of the worst ones.
It's probably going to be the worst one, I'm guessing.
It's
that's my guess.
This movie, literally within 10 minutes of this movie, I was like, "What's going on? I don't understand what's going on. I don't know who anybody is. I hear names that are familiar with the series. I see people that look familiar from other series, but I don't know what anybody's doing in this movie."
Yeah. You finally get the Man in Black character, and it's like, oh, Loomis's homeboy for a long time, I guess. And then, because this character makes a very brief appearance in the first film as one of his like fellow doctors that gets out of a car at the very beginning or something like that. He's wearing like an all black suit, I think. But then they don't do a good job of connecting that. So I don't know why that matters, why it has to be that person. But yeah, no, there's a cult. Michael Myers might be a possessed person, I guess.
He's sort of their cult void, right? Like they're using him as a conduit to kind of do something? Murder, maybe?
Yeah, murder.
I don't understand the motivation for making this, wanting this kid, using this kid to what end? I didn't understand.
Yeah, because the baby was supposed to be the focal point, but that shifts like midway through the movie. Like, I forgot there was even a baby towards the end until somebody was like, oh, where's the baby? And like, oh, shit, the baby.
Where's the baby?
Oh, you know what we didn't mention about the previous film in 5 was the little kitten scene, which I was like, why is this in here?
Oh, yeah. But why is this too much time on the kitten stuff?
Yeah. There's a whole scene dedicated to the kittens. Like, these kittens are playing in the fucking farmhouse. Anyway, moving on. I don't... Like, where is Michael Myers finding all these, like, places to kill people? Prime example, the beginning of the film. Nurse lets woman go. She runs away with her baby. Nurse is like, oh, I got to go back in. Like, no, come with me. I can't. I'm like, what? Why? Okay, yeah, sure.
She clearly...
oh, because you need to die?
yeah.
So she turns around and she's like, oh, no, he's here. And like, I think she tries to say Michael. She turns around. Michael Myers like pushes her onto like a spike that's there on the wall.
Random.
Yeah, very random on the wall. Not even like attempting to blend it into like what is going on with the set deck and the like, it's a concrete hallway of some sort. No, it's a rando spike. I was like, oh, yeah, no,
that's true.
Is this the movie? What else are you going to give me?
No, yeah.
The mom from Better Off Dead? Like, ah, oh, shit, the mom from Better Off Dead?
Yeah. Darby. So, one fucking question I had was, so this, is it, so who are these people, the Stroud people? Isn't that Laura, wasn't that Laura, wasn't that Jamie Lee Curtis's name?
Laura
Stroud. So who, Laurie Stroud, right?
Yeah, Strode.
So, Strode, you're right, yeah. So who... Who is this family? I didn't understand who this family was.
Yeah, and then they're like realtors too, or like the drunk dad is, I guess.
Uh huh.
Now yeah. none of that made sense.
Are they related?
I guess I don't. It didn't seem like it, right? It didn't seem like there was any real connection other than the last name. Because in my head, I was like,
fuck, yeah,
why didn't Michael kill these people first? Then, if he's like so, he's got such a boner to
his
kill
entire
his
bloodline of people. He must be up to, at this point, he's probably up to like fifth cousin now, right? Yeah. Strode's. He's deep into the Strode's family tree there. Because I did not know who the fuck these people were.
Yeah.
You know, that was like.
And then there's like what, rando or like daughter-in-law? Not daughter? Adopted? Or like main,
that got
the main hero?
Slapped her out.
Yes. Like, came in with a child out of wedlock, and that's a problem for some reason. And then she's in college. And I was like, wait, what?
She's in college? I thought...
Right? Like, remember,
was it?
Yeah, because there's like a scene
I thought it was high school.
Was she still in high school?
I thought they were in high school.
I don't know. I have no clue. There was a lot of, like, dialogue that didn't make... It made it sound like she was coming back after a long period of time. And then part of it sounded like she never really left anywhere. But then she still felt like she was being alienated from the rest of the family. And then she had a brother that I kept forgetting was the brother. Like, painfully grunge.
Oh, yeah. He was the brother. Because then they have there was a little kid too, right? He had like a little blonde kid. There was two boys and then the girl. And then
the little blonde kid, I think, is, her son? I don't know. Yeah, this movie was all over the fucking place.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that blonde kid was her son. You remember? Because the son, like, when she gets slapped, then all of a sudden he has a knife to the dad's gut. And then they go into this whole, like, oh, he's hearing the voices like Michael.
So he's related.
I guess, yeah. But then Michael doesn't seem to give a shit about anybody except for that baby. I don't know.
We can assume that that baby is like that he's being like possessed to want that baby by the cult that's controlling him now, right? Is that
But then he goes and massacres that entire cult.
Yeah.
While they're doing
as you
surgery
do.
Or something. I wasn't really sure what was going on there, to be honest. I was like, what are they doing now? Why?
Yeah, this one really stumped me. I couldn't figure out, like, I couldn't get a hold of the plot. Like, I looked up, the only reason why I know that the woman having the baby was supposed to be Jamie.
That's supposed to be Jamie?
The little girl. Yeah, that's supposed to be Jamie's baby. I think I just blew your mind.
Oh, no, yeah, that just made the movie like 100% worse, and that's because the movie already sucked.
That's so exactly. Stupid. Yeah. And of course, Jamie gets killed within the first 5 minutes, and then she has this baby that she dumps in a bathroom trash or something.
Like puts a timer on the baby to be quiet for just enough time for Michael to leave
So yeah, so Dreamy Paul Rudd could find him.
Yeah, it was like, hey, how do you squeeze a bad performance out of Paul Rudd? I gotta ask this director.
Okay, so
because that's amazing.
To be fair, this is his first movie. From what I understand, this is his first movie. This is before Clueless.
I feel like he had to have been filming Clueless like shortly after, because it's 95. You know what I mean? And he was like great in Clueless.
Shortly after, yeah.
He was like fantastic in Clueless.
Well, I mean, that's more his wheelhouse, right? Like a funny, charming guy. This is like him.
Like the,
I don't know what he's going for in this movie, but yeah.
He's like luring Michael and he's got like the baby, quote unquote, in his arms. It's like, hey, Michael, like, it's too much. It's all over the place. But that's like everybody in this movie, too. I don't know. This movie is fucking terrible.
Like, yeah, this one was hard to watch.
That woman at the beginning that you're telling me is Jamie now, where she gets in the truck and she's trying to yell at the dude who's like hanging out outside in the rain, wearing like a clear poncho. He's just hanging out. It's the middle of the night, apparently. He's just hanging out by a tractor like, hey, what are you doing? Get out of my truck. Hey. And then he finally starts to walk towards her and she's like screaming. And then he gets his head like snapped in half. It's not even like that. This is like the, like an extreme strength level up for Michael Myers.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a real shame that these movies have gotten more violent.
Yeah.
You know,
less interesting.
I just feel, and way more or less interesting. But yeah, that was supposed to be Jamie. I guess apparently that cult took hold of her, knocked her up, and tried to have this baby that was for reasons. And she escaped.
But then she still died. So I'm confused as to like...
Gruesomely.
I have a feeling that this is kind of the last movie for this little storyline, and I feel like H2O and the next movie after that have nothing to do with this.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say anything positive about this movie. The more I try to, I'm struggling here to point out anything that I thought was good about this film. Aside from, like, it's nice to see Donald Pleasance one more time, but then he gets unceremoniously killed off, I guess. It's a sound cue in the credits.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, yeah. This movie was... You can tell this movie was a disaster to shoot, to make. Too many, like, I don't know, too many chiefs, not enough Indians in this movie. No clear direction at all. So apparently the rumor is that the director had just signed a 3-picture deal, but with Dimension. Do you remember Dimension?
Yeah.
They made like Scream and all these other horror movies. Well, Dimension signed him to, I believe, like a 3-picture deal, and with the caveat that he had to make this movie. So he never wanted to make movie. And he just did it because he wanted the movie deal.
Since you pointed that out, this definitely feels like a Dimension film. But in the sense, like, you know how like Blumhouse has those, like, in my opinion, like shitty anthology series on Hulu. I mean, Blumhouse, Blumhouse on Hulu. The ones I worked on, those shitty movies. Where it's supposed to be like an anthology series of like different holidays and different horror movies based around them. None of them.
Got it.
There's
a
couple that are like pretty good, but then the rest are like kind of shitty. This kind of feels like one of those movies where it's like just one of those shitty movies that they like shout out to make like some sort of profit, but it still has a Dimension feel. And I would say, because it feels like a lesser, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Way lesser. Yeah.
Way lesser. Like, like I'm not sure what you did at all last summer. In fact, like, it doesn't matter what you did last summer. I'm still going to kill you. But I'll try to explain.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
So if you want my rating,
you want to just skip this one. I honestly thought there'd be more to Paul Rudd to this character.
Yeah.
Well, as an actor, but I mean, to be all actors all have a first movie, and more than likely they're going to be terrible, or they're going to be low budge. They're not going to have, you know, a strong director to guide them to any sort of performance. And this is pretty evident in this movie.
But Jennifer Aniston was in the first
Leprechaun. Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. Matthew McConaughey was in one of the reboots for Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He was in part two, right?
Part two of it. No, he was in like that weird reboot.
The like beginning, right?
Late 90s or something. Yeah, something like that.
So I would recommend it just to see if you're a Paul Rudd fan, just to watch one of his movies.
Yeah, I guess so.
You want to see where it all began.
That's a positive thing to put into this. Yeah, there it is. You want to see a young Paul Rudd who still looks virtually the same.
Yeah.
And then he does save the day by, quote unquote, beating Michael Myers to death. You know, hard quotations there. And it's like real dramatic how like he stops and then he laughs or something, and then he proceeds to like weird jump cut beat him to death until like green goo starts flying out of his mask.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's another positive. This mask was not nearly as shitty as
the mask got improved. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a minute since these masks haven't looked like complete trash, and this one looked good. Looked okay.
Yeah, oof. The melodramatic Michael Myers mask, I was like, this is the worst one.
So I had an idea. So what if we make a movie about Paul Rudd playing like Dorian Gray? I feel like somebody already had that idea, right? That Paul Rudd might be a real life Dorian Gray. But
it would make sense.
It would all make sense. I don't know. We'll work on that.
We'll reach out to him. We'll have his people contact other people. If you could actually, Candy, if you could go ahead and work on that, get Paul Rudd to be a part of our film that we're going to start writing.
Dorian Gray. Yeah. Reboot.
The Dorian sequel. Gray story. Starring Paul Rudd. Rated X. He's naked the entire movie. You're welcome, America.
It'd be fun if he just plays himself. He's just this actor.
Like, he has no idea.
We don't got to change anything.
He has no idea that he is Dorian Gray. He's just like, he's just such a nice guy that even like spirits and stuff are like, oh, this guy's so cool. Let him live forever. It's all right.
Let's let him live forever. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. That was The Curse of Michael Myers. All right. All right, John.
Michael
Myers
is watching. How about that?
No, yeah, exactly. All right. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, 0.5, not so sexy, spooky bones. The 0.5
I like it.
A half sexy bone for Paul Rudd.
You're only half boned for Paul Rudd. That leaves you the caveat to leaves you a floor. So in case there's one worse, you could hit zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that? Yeah. No, that's actually a fair rating. I can't argue with that.
It is hands down the worst one we've seen so far. Hands down.
Yeah, just boring and
boring.
The boring.
It's also boring too.
Yeah, I think that's and confusing, boring. Not very good. I think I'll give it one sexy spooky bone.
Nice.
So I'll do that.
That was very nice. Yeah.
Very, very nice. Most generous.
Halloween the 6 appreciates you.
Just to real quick, the IMDb score is 4 out of 10.
Whoa. Hmm. I feel like that's better than some of the others. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That was Halloween 5 and 6. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go poo.